Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is out there on the Wild Wild Web at www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Either one of those. We have a short one if you don't like to type. We have a long one if you do like to type. And we have one that's my name. If you can just remember that one, you can get to what I call a little bit of small business heaven, where you can listen to thousands of archives and read over 1,000 articles by our Brain Trust members. And some of these archives, by the way, folks, go back 6 years, back to 99. I don't listen to those much anymore. there are a lot of them that you can benefit from folks who've been with us a long time, like our good friend and our guest this half hour, Mr. Peter Meyer, who's been with us for a number of years. There are a bunch of archives there of visits that he and I've had. If you want to learn how to create and dominate new markets, Peter can help you with that. And through his books, which is one of the books, that's the title, Creating and Dominating New Markets, as well as Warp Speed Growth. And he's the guy who helps us stop for a moment and think about our business in a way that maybe you might not have done recently. Peter Meyer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back, Peter, as always. And Peter, one of the things I know you've had on your mind today, is mission statements. And you know, a lot of companies write mission statements, but then it's put in a drawer, or maybe they tack it on the wall or something, but nobody ever comes back to those. Is that what we should do with them, or is there something else we could do with a mission statement?
Well, I think the value of a mission statement, at least partially, is in the creation of it. And then once you've created it and you've internalized it and you know it and your staff knows it and your customers know it, it becomes something you can put aside and revisit on a weekly basis, let's say. But the problem many people have with mission statements is turning into something you can say to your customers that makes sense in a couple sentences. And most customers don't want to hear a lot about that always. But it's important, I think, that we understand, our customers understand, what we're about and why we're here for them.
Are you talking about where a mission statement turns into a brand promise? Is that sort of what you're talking about?
That, to a great extent, is it. But I'm also thinking about, you know, real life and on a daily basis. Let's say you're in an elevator going up from one floor to another, and somebody turns to you and sees your name tag, you know, the visitor badge, and says, well, what does your company do? Well, I got a floor to answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
You always pull out a mission statement. Instead, you have to have something a little more concise to say that makes the person want to say, tell me more, walk down to my office. So I'm looking more at the mission statement turning itself into an elevator speech or a unique sales proposition or unique color.
But sometimes I hear these things and you know what the first thing I'm looking for? I'm looking for the manipulation. When I hear people give me a mission statement, or I hear them give me a brand promise or whatever, you know, I want to know if how much of that is them trying to manipulate me, and how much of it is them trying to just blow smoke on me.
It's interesting because I think that a lot of mission statements, the first word in the mission statement tends to be we.
Right.
And most customers, and I don't know about you, but the way I am when I buy, most customers want to hear about themselves,
That's
not
right.
about the vendor.
That's right. So what's in it for me?
Yes. So if you turn to me and I say that, well, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm superb, and I do things well, you're not going to go very far with that before you think, gee, I hope this elevator moves faster. On the other hand, if you
when you give them your mission statement, folks, or your little elevator speech, if the person who asked you that for it reaches over and starts pushing the buttons, you know you didn't go over too well.
Yeah, you know you restart. That's right. And so the answer is not to push the stop button on the elevator, but the answer is to have a way of stating what you're about that starts with the word you. So when a customer says, well, what do? You start talking about them instead of about yourself. because that's the way you'd like to be sold to, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So how would you? But how would you do that? Would you say, for example, would I say, well, are you a small business owner? Do you know any small business owners?
You could do that. And that puts you as a second word in the sentence. Let me give you another first sentence. The first sentence could be, you know how hard it is to make a small business fun and profitable at the same time?
Right.
And that question is a yes or no question.
Right.
And either the person knows, like almost all your listeners do, or they don't.
And then I say, that's what we do.
We help you.
Because we have really cool guys like Peter Meyer who help us do that. Quick break, 22. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away. We'll be right back. We're back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Peter Meyer is here, too, because we've got some good stuff left to talk about. We're talking about making sure that when we present ourselves to people, customers or people who just have just found out about us and they don't know if they're going to be customers yet, as we present ourselves to those people, whether it be in through verbally or however they find out about us, that it's in a way that interests them. It makes them want to know more. And Peter says one of the ways to not accomplish that is if you talk about we or you. I mean we or me, not you. And Peter, I agree with you. One of the things, though, that I pointed out that really creates a conflict to accomplish what you're talking about is the way we go about as business owners, the way we go about acquiring and developing and creating and producing and delivering the things that we sell. See, because when we're in our business, the things that we sell are like our children. They're like, you know, they're like this wonderful gift that we've been able to create that people want, and we're so proud of ourselves for being able to do that, and we're so excited about how it all came together that we don't realize that, yes, it's the same thing that the customer is going to buy, maybe, and that you're excited about. It's just that they look at it from a different perspective, right?
I think the two examples that come to mind here that reinforce what you just said is, one is the person that we all know of and never want to talk to again, who walks up and says, enough about you, let me show you 30 pictures of my kids.
Right.
Right. And there's a limit to how much that you want. And you think, oh, nobody does that. But last week, General Motors was talking about their economic future. And I don't mean to pick on GM, but one of the things they said is that we're going to have an upturn in sales. And one of the reasons we are is because all of our cars, we're the only company in the world that where all of our products have OnStar on board.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know how our listeners want to buy every GM product, but there's not a big advantage to any one of our listeners for every one of his products to have OnStar on board. It took a lot of work for GM to do that, and they deserve to be proud of it, but it's not an advantage to the customer.
Well, they did. They certainly didn't turn it around and make it, you know, if they had talked to you, Peter, I think you would have said, for them to have said, that we're going to make sure that our company is devoted to making sure that our customers have extra peace of mind and security.
Sure enough. I buy a car and I want it to be secure. But now when I talk about cars and people who buy cars and my customers, I want to talk about them first. Start with start with their needs, start with their perceptions of their needs, not my perceptions of their needs.
Well, you know, Peter, I wrote about this a while back. I don't know if you saw it, but I got concerned about exactly what you're talking about, and I call it manipulation. I really think that this is something that happens, and what I talked about was I identified a syndrome that I call the customer, what customer syndrome,
mm-hmm.
And this is where companies only focus on their own requirements and not on anything that the customer needs, and they say it in such a way, they talk about a new brand promise or whatever it is they talk about, like the OnStar situation, in such a way that it's all about them. And when you hear them talking, all you hear is them, but nothing about the customer.
And I think that that's fine for large businesses because they're not listening to the show. But for all of our listeners, I think we should stop and say, how do I start what I do with the word you? How do I explain it with the word you? And I can give you a formula that I use with people to help them figure it out, but it has to be individual and unique, where it says it's the business owner's personality coming out that says, you know, this is what you get. What you get is this. What you get is this. And then here's how I provide it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about how you provide something if they don't care what it is they get.
So anything that you say to a customer needs to make sure that they know immediately that you're coming at this from their perspective first.
And the only way you demonstrate that is by starting with the word you instead of me.
Mm-hmm. So take every piece of advertising, take every sign, take every tagline, whatever it is, might be, and I used to have one. Mine probably wasn't exactly good enough for you, Peter, but when I was a consultant, my tagline was a vice president you can rent. That seemed to be intuitive enough for folks. That told them what they needed to know, but I probably should have figured out a way to say you a little quicker than that, shouldn't I?
Well, Jim, everything you do is fine for me, but let me offer a formula which would say, you know how hard it is to.
Yeah.
And just start with the word you, and then you know how hard it is to, and then fill in the blank. You know,
folks, while we're on this break, we got to take a quick. While we're on this break, I want you to think of everything that how you reach out to customers, and see if you can't stick you in front of all those, just like Peter said. Think about that while we're gone. We're going to have a test on the other side of these messages. It's 10 till. No, actually, I got about another minute. I jumped the gun. Go ahead, Peter. Give us one more example.
So you know how hard it is to, and then you answer the question. You know how hard it is to find a vice president who you only need for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know how you need. Someone who's got a lot of experience, but you only need them for one day a week.
Fine. You know how it is to find the experience you need without buying it full time.
Mm-hmm.
Any way you want to put that is fine, and then you stop and you pause and you wait for the answer. You don't
know. Now we're taking a break, folks. I promise you. Now we're going to take one, and we are going to have that test on the other side of these messages. We come back after these messages, 20, no, it's 10 till. I'll get it right in a minute. I've never done this before, have I? Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Peter Meyer is our guest. He's the author of Warp Speed Growth. He's the author of Creating and Dominating New Markets. Peter, give us your website, please.
Well, the easy one is to simply take warpspeedgrowth.com or creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com. Either
all
one
right.
It gets you all the articles.
And that'll get us to all the information, some of the information you and I are talking about today and some of the stuff that we talked about in the past. And if anybody wanted to engage your services to help them to do a better job of these things, they can contact you from the website, can't they?
They certainly can. They can send me an email to peter@meyergrp.com.
All right.
I love getting emails from people who are actually running a business, not just
right.
a house, but actually running a business. Great.
I hope you'll take advantage of that, folks. And the books are available wherever books are sold, right, Peter?
Sure. Amazon.com, down to your local bookstore, your choice.
All the way. M-E-Y-E-R, Peter Meyer. And, folks, I encourage you, especially these two books that I'm looking at here, Warp Speed Growth and Creating and Dominating New Markets. You know, Peter, I talk about you all the time, even when you're not here. I remind my audience and your concept of creating and dominating new markets pops up all the time on the show because I think that's such an important thing for small business owners to be aware of. And you've given us your approval and not only your approval, but you've given us some great techniques and some great tools and some great perspectives on how to believe that we can actually, as small business owners, create and dominate new markets. And one of the ways that we do that, and I think it's one of the ways that we differentiate ourselves, and I think that's what you've taught us about creating new markets is to differentiate ourselves, is to be able to let the customer know that you're putting them first. And that's what you've been talking about all day, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the good and bad news is that when you focus on a customer, truly focus on a customer instead of yourself, that is a differentiator. It certainly shouldn't be, but it is. And the good news is that you can do that. It doesn't require any investment. It doesn't require any more resource. All you have to do is say, put the word you before you put the word me in your sentences, and you will have differentiated yourself.
Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is this is not just a one-time thing. You're talking about making it a way of life, not just an initial pitch, aren't you?
I will look at this as if I were the customer, how would I want to be treated? And if that's a change in my way of life to get there, that's a good change.
And how would they want to be treated in every time we touch them, every time we reach out to them?
From invoicing through to sales, through delivery.
Right.
All those contact points.
So now we got to talk about training, right?
Sure.
Training our people.
Training our people, training the people who are not employees but still represent us.
Right.
Like our resellers, like our suppliers.
The person who answers our phone sometimes, we might ask a person to answer the phone. We might have a company to answer our phone, you know, during lunch hour or whatever, help getting them, letting them know that that we have standards for how we want our customers to be treated.
Exactly right. And the word you comes out very, very near the beginning of every one of those statements to a customer. What do you want? How can we help you? I have a client in L.A. whose staff now answers the phone. The Abraham Company, what can we do for you?
Mm-hmm.
How can we help you today? It's mm-hmm. automatic. It's part of the process.
So even if the first word isn't you, the focus of the first thing you say needs to be about the customer.
And wouldn't you want to buy that way?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you want to be treated that way? Why would you treat your customers any different than how you want to be treated?
Well, and you know, Peter, in a world where a lot of companies don't do that, it's a refreshing thing to hear, isn't it?
It's a refreshing thing to do as well. When you see people's faces light up, you see a smile come on their face, you hear interesting conversations, it's more fun. It's more fun and better business to hear what's really going on in somebody's mind. Because you say, you know how hard it is too, and you get an answer, you're getting a serious answer.
Well, and you know what else, Peter? I have a theory, and I would like to know your thoughts on this. I believe that consumers can still be manipulated by advertising and marketing. I don't think small business owners can be manipulated like that.
I don't think anybody can be manipulated. I think all those manipulations always fail.
Well, I think consumers, it's more likely that way, but one of the things I think small business owners don't like to be, I think they like to be manipulated less than anybody, and that's one of the things, and I think what you're talking about, folks, as you're doing business with businesses, when you're doing business to business, I think especially what Peter's talking about is especially true, not just to consumers, but also to businesses. Peter, thank you for being here. Give us your website one more time.
My pleasure. Just go over to warpspeedgrowth.com or meyergrp.com and send me a note.
Thank you, Peter.
Appreciate you.
Good job today. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure. Thank you, man.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.